but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone and welcome to another Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast interview, this time not with Chris Lapien, with myself, Oliver Newman, three-time pro wrestling author, and tonight I'm really honoured and happy to be joined by the first lady, female and woman interviewee on BBGW Pod. This is very historic for everyone involved. And the lady in question is the goddess of fire, Athena Fury. Hello, Athena. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. I've got to remember how to do this because it's been a while since I've interviewed somebody.
That's fine. No problem at all.
Yeah, as I mentioned off air and stuff, the stresses that go with that. But I'm sure it'll be fine. And the fact that we've been trying to put this together for ages and we finally got the timetables correct. So no, it's good to be able to finally do this, and I'm glad that it's you I'm interviewing.
So thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. So first of all, I've seen on your social medias as of late, you're doing this new project. Would you like to tell the listeners all about it?
Yeah, sure, certainly. Myself and Steve Valentino were chosen to be a part of a series of Facebook mini films. Ours was called Mayhem in the Midlands, and it was basically just about sort of what wrestling is and what it portrays out there to groups and people. Now, going into this, I was just literally myself. The camera crew followed me around for the day. They understood a little bit about me, about my home life and how I got to where I was. And from that, really, it was just what I didn't think existed. It was an outcry of people telling me how I'd influenced them. Now, I had no idea about this. I had no idea that had such an effect. I had one girl, for example, come up to me at the premiere and sort of said, she went, "Oh, I'm really sorry I've had to come up to you to talk to you today." I was like, "Yeah, no, of course, no problem. Come on, let's have a chat." And she was just basically saying that she said she was going to be forced into an arranged marriage, and she decided to go against that. And then she decided to move to London, and she wanted to work for Facebook, and it happened for her, and it was all great. She had trouble from her family, and she was in a really low place, and then all of a sudden this mini-series of films came in, and I obviously was one of those. And she just sort of said, "You being Asian, you being, regardless of your sexuality or anything else," she goes, "you've just literally showed me you can do anything." And she said, when she was in a low point of her life, I lifted her up.
Right.
Now, I've had people say that kind of stuff to me before, not necessarily the Asian thing, but even little girls seeing me, saying, he's really strong and, really sort of this independent woman, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's just drove me to see, obviously having all these people, which I never thought was possible that I could have an effect like that, whether I was a good guy or a bad guy, depending on the day, it's just really made me hone in why am I in professional wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to do it, and why did Athena become who she was? And in my mind now, it's a case of I'm 29, I've done what I've done. I got into the business a bit late, which is unfortunate, but I see the reason for me doing it now. And the reason for doing it now is purely just to raise sort of awareness, causes, anything that's going on in the world that needs some support, spread sort of empowerment to little girls, to boys, just anyone who needs it. Because like I said, I've had people reach out to me. I've had men that have decided to go gay and come out to me and sort of speak to me about being a lesbian, or I've had other people and all sorts of what's going on, but, I've just, at this point, I'm like, right, I turned around and I was like, I need to do something with this, I need to use this, all this publicity that I've had with Facebook, and BBC West Midlands and BBC Asian Network, I need to do something with what I've got now, and rather than go out and just trying to, approach promotions and get more work, what I want to do is give back now. So if there are people are following Athena, and they're seeing this independent, strong person, well, I want to build an inferno, so I don't just want my fire. Basically, basically. I want literally everyone to support and like sort of get behind and be who they want to be, you know, have that empowerment, know they can do whatever they want to do in life, and not sort of have any barriers on that. And that's exactly what how Athena was sort of made. So basically what's happening is I'm launching my first official line of merchandise. It's been created by one of my fans who's also the daughter of Dominic De Winter, who does great designs, and he's created it for me. And basically I'm going to sell the merch. All profit that comes back in from the merch literally goes to any charity that the buyer decides that it should go to, which is fine. And there'll be a list and they can add charities if they want. So that will be going on. And then also there'll be a page launch for Build and Inferno. And basically on there, there'll be all sorts of causes and things that are going on. And you'll also see, because it will be a separate page from Athena, because Athena is the ambassador of it. You'll see page posts of Athena going out and sort of clearing beaches or helping out homeless shelters or doing the bits and bobs, you know, because at the end of the day, Athena at this point in my life wouldn't exist without these people. So it's something bold and daring, and there's going to be people that disagree with it and everything else. But you know what? There's so many people that give back in the world, but then there's so many people that don't. And I'm just one of those now. I feel like I can only carry on as Athena, and sort of, you know, carry on doing what I'm doing and get even better and promote more things. The bigger I get, the more, you know, there's awareness on causes and all sorts that's going on in the background that no one seems to notice. So, I mean, it's just a bit of, you know, it's been a bit of a light bulb moment for myself. But like I said, there'll be people against it, but unfortunately that's where I need to go and that's what I need to follow now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've always, you know, put that message of empowerment and, you know, wanting equality and things of that nature in your wrestling. So to take on these new causes and to be for like the greater good and show that you're selfless in what you want to do is a really tremendous message to share, really. I'm thoroughly behind you in it. I think, you know, people, especially in the wrestling business, should be, you know, more selfless and work towards, you know, a greater good of, you know, whatever it is, really. You know, in wrestling and in life, you've got an opportunity to make a difference, and you've had this spotlight shone on you with Facebook and, you know, BBC WM and the BBC Asian Network, and you're using it in a positive way, and that's absolutely fantastic, really.
No, I appreciate that, and honestly, it's my way of saying thank you back. I've had some of the greatest moments in wrestling, some of the lowest of lows. I've literally been, you know, people don't see it. You know, I went to a funeral before a match one day, and you know, you have to just like pull yourself out of it and remember who you are. You have to be strong, and you know, life does throw curveballs at you, but you know, if you can be some sort of a good person, you know, I've made mistakes in the past, but you know, I'm trying to put right things I've done wrong, I guess, and I'm trying to show that basically, you know, you can be whoever you want to be, boy, girl, llama, anything, you know, be what you want to be at the end of the day, and I just want to support that. And you know, there's a little girl looking up to me, and I need to believe in myself, and I need to believe in Athena, and that's one thing. I want to give the little girl that little bit of fire, so whatever she wants to be, an astronaut, I don't know, manager of like curries, anything, you know, I just want to support that, really. So
yeah, I saw it in the video. I haven't seen the full video with you and Steve Valentino, but I saw that you was giving a happy birthday wish to a young girl, and like it made the day and stuff. So it does show you the effect that you have as a performer and a fan, and the difference you can make in someone's life. It's really awesome when that happens, in all honesty. I can say from, you know, from a writer's perspective, when a reader or a fan comes up to me and says, "I, you know, I like your work and stuff," it's no greater feeling. And then for yourself to, you know, the happy birthday wish and stuff must be amazing. And I guess that's what's kind of been a catalyst to this, really. If you're making that kind of difference, then that's what you want to do. And
that's
amazing.
Yeah. That's my money now. That's it. Making people happy is my money. So that's what I wanted to do forward with that.
Yeah. So you mentioned going, like, because you said, like, character-wise, doesn't matter whether you're a heroine or a villainess. Which is your preference? Because I've seen you to both roles, really. I've seen you at Youngblood Wrestling against Dominita, and you were the heroine. And then I've seen you at Pro Wrestling Subjective, and you've been the villainess and, you know, the Pro Wrestling Subjective Women's Champion for the longest time. So which is your preference?
I think previously it was as, you know, being the bad self of Athena. And I think even moving forward, although, you know, I'm going to sort of progress even more and try and get as good as I could possibly be, which would probably lean more towards, you know, being a heroine. I still think even being a villainess shows, it still puts a message out there, you know, regardless of whatever job I'm doing, you know, whatever's going on in the match or whatever title or promotion or whatever else. I think even as a villainess, if you're that strong, independent, you know, that fighting spirit, as long as you don't go too far with it, you're not upsetting people and, you know, you're doing what you need to do, I think that would work. So in all fairness, I still want to stay as a villainess, but not too much that I turn the other way. Even as a heroine, I'm not, you know, the happy clappy sort of character, if you like. I come out still quite, you know, this vibrant, fiery character for people to look at. So for now I'm going to say villainess, but you never know, things could change. So
yeah, it's like what's going on with Becky Lynch on SmackDown Live, isn't it? You know, everything about it says, oh well, you should really boo this lady. But in all honesty, if you've been keeping up with Becky Lynch's story, you would cheer her on through everything, really, because, you know, she's a tremendous wrestler, fantastic story, and pretty much every one of her friends on the brands, either Raw or SmackDown Live, has turned on her before she's done it to them. So, you know, you can understand, but then she's got that last kicker kind of attitude, and obviously tremendous wrestler, and she just fights for what she believes in. So that's kind of the reason why the fans aren't booing her. Maybe that's the kind of character you're referring to. I don't know if you're influenced at all by what's going on SmackDown Live at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, obviously I watch WWE and I watch the network, and for obviously to see sort of movesets, what's going on, storylines, but I try not to get too involved in the storylines that are going on there, because I try to keep my mind fresh. And everything I do, obviously I watch people like Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, China, and I've watched them obviously growing up, but I try and keep away from mimicking or sort of doing anything that someone does at the minute. I completely agree with the Becky Lynch story, and people, and that will be used, you know, again and again, that sort of storyline and promotions across the UK. But I try not to get too influenced or try not to think that way. I always try and think a different sort of way, or how can I do this, or how can I do that, without getting too caught up in what's going on there.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I mean, for me, it's the best thing happening in the WWE at the moment. Yeah. Really, really impressed with it. But
professional wrestling can be found in one place where you can get the inside scoop, one place where you can learn the gritty and dirty details of all the best in pro wrestling. I'm Jason Saint, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, moving back to yourself, what was your first memory or moment of professional wrestling, going back to the beginning?
So my first official sort of, I didn't have a match, I just had a sort of run in. I think it was Violet Vendetta against Alex. I can't remember her name. That was the second lady in the match was called Alex something. I can't remember her name for the life of me. And basically, a pinfall had happened, and then all of a sudden, this character appears, Charlie. Charlie turns up with MMA boots on, a pair of shorts, a tank top, very short black hair, slightly a bit more stockier than Athena is, I'd say. She runs out. And she passes the villainess, goes to the heroine, who was this Alex, does the most legit judo throw, because Charlie's background was MMA, the legit judo throw, puts an armbar on, the crowd don't know what's going on, and then Charlie jumps up on the top ropes and sort of makes a statement that I'm here. So that was my first official memory, and I'll tell you what, when I stepped, I'll get butterflies anyway stepping out, but when I stepped out of that curtain for the first time, my breath was literally taken away. And when I stood up on those ropes, although my body wasn't trembling, I was literally trembling inside and shaking. But you know what? It's just from the first bump I took in training, I knew wrestling was for me. So you know, it's a great memory. You know, you've got to go through the lows and the highs, unfortunately, to get through. So
it's like you're reading my questions. That was actually a question I was going to ask in a few minutes. I meant from like a wrestling fan's perspective. I mean, you know, did you watch it? Because you know, WWF at the time was on Sky and stuff in you know, the 90s and what have you. Or did you catch part of the Attitude Era? You know, what was the first moment or memory that you had? You know, when you first saw wrestling on TV. That was the original question. You've answered a question for later on, so it's fine.
Oh, there we go. So my first memory is of The Rock, who I was absolutely obsessed with. So The Rock was a part of the corporation at the time, because my brother was a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I loved The Rock. I loved everything about him, you know, his sort of aura, his, what he was wearing, the way he carried himself. You know, he was a strong character, a very strong character. And my brother used to sort of cheer on Stone Cold, and I'd cheer on The Rock. And my brother had a few years on me. He's got sort of 8 years on me. And, you know, if Stone Cold would get the pin or sort of attack The Rock and he was on the upper hand, all of a sudden my brother then thought it was a great opportunity to jump on me and start doing wrestling moves. So I learned from a very quick age to be sort of on my feet and on the ball a bit until I got a bit older, like I mentioned in the Facebook film. When I got a bit older, there was no chance of him taking me down. So I think Athena was there in the beginning anyway. but definitely The Rock and the way he was coming out and storyline just got me so engrossed. And from there, I followed it all the way through. Sort of when Eddie Guerrero sort of had the bout, Chris Benoit, China, X-Pac, all the characters. Literally, there wasn't someone I didn't love or, you know, didn't admire. I had so many T-shirts. My dad bought me so many Generation X, all the Rock merchandise, which there must have been at least 30 different T-shirts at the time. But no, I was just obsessed. It was all over my school books, all over my my ward. And you know, I'm really good. I didn't find wrestling in terms of actual going out of being a professional wrestler a lot sooner. But you know, if I knew it was on the circuit back then, you know, I would have joined a long time ago, definitely.
Yeah, and when you mention about The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, that was kind of me and my brother's sibling rivalry. And much like yourself, I didn't go in the ring afterwards, but yeah, bunk beds and four poster beds were our ring and stuff. And yeah, a lot of play fighting happened. But we should mention at this time a nice disclaimer for everyone that you shouldn't do this at home. And I'm sure you'll be behind that message, Athena.
Oh, 100%. And I nearly caused myself some damage because I was also a fan of the Hardy. One day my mum was out, so I went on her bed and I decided to do a swanton bomb. And I did that, bounced off the bed, and literally my throat went into a stall. And I've never felt pain like it. So please, whoever, you know, whoever's listening, children, teenagers, adults, please literally do not try this at home. You know, go down to your local sort of promotion or have a look on the internet and see what's out there so you can do it in a safe environment and not get hurt.
There you go. That was fantastic. Yeah, that was fantastic. We talked about both of us doing it in different ways, and then we've summed it up, got the disclaimer out there. Everyone's going to be happy. Yeah. So match or moment that made you a fan? Have you covered that, do you think? Was it just The Rock and you weren't really, you know?
Yeah, it was every night, every Friday night when Raw used to come on. Just everything. And when there was the release of SmackDown, that was a sort of special moment. Then we had all the games, etc. Mm-hmm. I've just been hooked from day one. From the very first moment I watched it, I've just loved it. I fell in love straight away.
Yeah. So what made you decide to become a pro wrestler? What was that moment, the light bulb moment?
So I was previously training in mixed martial arts in Coventry, where it was my home originally. And I just by chance, I went to, with my ex, we went to a party, and everyone was in there mingling, and I went into the kitchen for a reason. There was another guy in the kitchen as well. Funnily enough, he was a wrestler, and he started talking, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go in there. I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to stay out here for a little while. not being antisocial, it's just we literally didn't know anyone there, so we were the two that no one knew. So they were all having chats, so we just went out for a little bit. And basically he said, oh yeah, I'm a pro wrestler. I was like, no way. No way are you a pro wrestler. Yeah, no, honestly, you're doing Coventry. And I was like, well, I've never heard of it. Like, how can this exist in the UK? Obviously I've seen it in the UK, sort of, but Blackpool Towers and you know, the sort of independent shows, but I never thought it was something I could get into. And then sort of we carried on speaking, and he sort of said, oh, well, here's the promotion. Please go down and, you know, give the guy a message and turn up. So I did, and that first promotion was Coventry Pro Wrestling, where I'm from, and sort of, you know, I went down and that was it. As soon as I took that first bump, it felt like nothing coming from mixed martial arts. Obviously, it is something, definitely. But it felt stiff, but it didn't feel stiff at the same time. It was something that clicked. It was different, and that was it.
Okay, fair enough. So who trained you at Coventry Pro Wrestling?
So there was a few trainers at the time that had been and gone. But really, I sort of progressed to where I started training at Slam Wrestling, and Luke Dalton, and some of the trainers there sort of really sort of honed me in and took me on camp runs and sort of explained everything. Also, a very good friend of mine and an uprising talent at the moment, Leon Roberts, also known as Will Star, was another trainer of mine, and he is absolutely brilliant, and I still train with him now. And for me personally, I think the next step is maybe Fight Club, just to sort of get into where, you know, the best possible level, but definitely it was Luke Dalton and Leon Roberts. I've also had the chance to be a part of the Al Snow Academy, where I had a couple of sessions with Al, and also with Shira, which was a very, very funny kind of rumble, if you like, or, you know, tumble in the ring when we had a bit of a roll around. He's a very big guy. This is TNA Shira. So I've had all sorts, really. There's always been people influencing me. Even now, recently, I wrestled Zaya Brookside and Lana Austin, and both of them absolutely lovely ladies, but more than that, they are great wrestlers, and even they were giving me tips. So, you know, you never stop learning. So it's just a progression, really, on who trains you, and you just move on, I guess.
Yeah, I see what you mean about never stop learning and stuff. As long as you've got that attitude of not wanting to, you know, not learn at any point in time, you know, you'll be able to progress, won't you? So could you talk us through, you know, a day at training?
Yeah, sure. So I would generally, or even today actually, I was meant to pop down. So I would get up in the morning, literally have a quick run around the block just to get the heart moving, have my eggs, have my green tea. Then I'll go to the gym at some point before the evening session. So throughout work day, I'll make time to pop to the gym, just a little light session. Then I'll go to training. If, for example, I go to Coventry Pro Wrestling, where Leon Roberts, also known as Will Star, is now, it'll be a case of probably 100 press-ups, 100 squats, and then just really sort of technical wrestling. He does a few sort of spots that you could possibly learn, but he is very much about making it as legit as possible as you can, so all the holds have to be right. And he sort of watches a lot of the guys from the 70s, so that's the kind of style we do there. Slam wrestling is different. We do a lot of sort of movesets, and a lot of the sort of set out regime that Al Snow's Academy has. So you have to sort of do rolls or, you know, body slams, and you have to get them crisp to the point where if you're going to body slam, you can literally run up a wall and body slam yourself. So that's the different sort of training I've had there.
Okay. Do you have any favourite memories or moments of your time with Coventry Pro Wrestling?
Definitely. I think the first time, obviously, I sort of transformed and progressed into Athena. And the first time was when I had the first belt won, or first title put on me. It was actually a triple threat match with Violet Vendetta and Lana Austin. Mm-hmm. I was extremely, extremely new. I remember just being thrown out a lot, but I kept coming back in. And that's what Athena is. And at the end of the day, you know, she never stops. She keeps getting back up. And it was just, you know, they both looked after me so well, and I had a great time, and I think it was a great feeling, because I don't know what it is about wrestling. Like, I get people, you know, they have things going on in their personal lives, you know, ups and downs and everything else, but, like, all the downs, didn't matter. Literally, when I lifted that belt for the first time, the feeling that I had was just, it was overwhelming. And it was so emotional. And, you know, to have people cheering and wanting me to do well, you know, it was a bit of acceptance as well. But it was, you know, the feeling, that whole night at Coventry Pro Wrestling was amazing.
And can you tell us the progression from Charlie, as you mentioned, a short while ago, to becoming Athena Fury? How did that process come along? Why was the change in character, and how did you become the Goddess of Fire that you are today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, sort of 2 months in, I was still sort of going with this Charlie thing, and it just didn't feel like me. It didn't feel right at all. Literally did not feel right. It was just very, there wasn't enough for me, and it wasn't showing who I truly am or what, you know, I wanted to be. So there was a discussion in one of the sessions of, you know, think about your character, who would they be, what would they do? And I kid you not, literally within half an hour, I had my whole character written down, and I was like, I'm going to be Athena Fury. And Athena came from the goddess of war and the goddess of wisdom from Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. You know, this strong woman, good woman, this strong, smart, you know, everything else. I don't know if I got the smart bit, but I hope I got the rest of it.
I've seen your rest, so I'd say you're quite ring smart, if that's what you're after. If you're fishing for compliments there, you've got one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the Furies bit of it, there was a group known as the Furies in Greek mythology. Now, these Furies, but basically, they weren't the nicest of, they were sort of female in gender, there were three of them, but they weren't the nicest, but they would punish the bad. So anyone who was, you know, against the law or terrorizing or, you know, being horrible or anything that goes on in Greek mythology world, they were the sort of police officers, if you like, or the bodyguards, probably not as clean as police officers, probably bodyguards, more of a sort of, a good sort of explanation. But I put the two together and I thought, yeah, that's me. And then after that, I sort of drew up the initial, and I had my sort of gear drawn out, my black gear, and then also sort of the logos and things that would represent me. And then I sat there and I thought, there's something more here. Like, I don't think that's me. And I've always been fiery, and I've always been determined, and, you know, I had this hunger and always wanted to succeed in whatever I've done. So all of a sudden I was like, there's something missing. I think it's fire, because that's what I see myself as. I'm a Leo in star sign as well, which is also, you know, a fire sort of star sign. I thought, that's me. And then it started off with just having a bit of fire in my hand, to be spinning fire, to all everything related to fire. And then eventually I've literally sort of in what I see in my head is embodied what I think fire is. And I call myself the Goddess of Fire, not because I'm sort of royalty or anything like that. It's because I have that much fire sort of within me. And that's the message I'm trying to put out now. Everyone's got a bit of fire in them to do what they want and when they want and chase what they want. And, and that was me. And that's how I sort of was born, if you like.
Yeah, that's absolutely superb. If I'm right in thinking, you came from the Next Gen Academy. Yeah, can you tell us what that was like? Is there any other students that have come through that we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, so the Next Gen Academy was a part of Coventry Pro Wrestling, and people that sort of come out of that have been Will Starr and Liam Roberts at the moment. There's also been Tomby, who's sort of a demonic character. And then I think there's been a couple of others. So we've had people that are involved in it, I believe, actually, that are training at the moment, sort of the trainers. Dan Evans is a part of it, but he's sort of one to look out for. It was just literally the Next Gen Academy was something new, and there was no other females at the time. And I was the first, and I was roughing it up with the boys and, you know, showing them what I could do. And Next Gen Academy, I think, is going to be great going forward with more investment and more sort of awareness of wrestling in the UK now. I think that, you know, the amount of wrestlers coming through is going to be excessive, and, you know, Next Gen Academy is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about winning championships before. How does the Slam Inter Counties Championship rank in your career so far?
Oh, that was a massive milestone, and that was the next milestone from sort of Athena Fury being born, if you like. That the Intercounty Championship was held by a man, and no other woman had held that championship before. So to be presented with that, and sort of I held it for a while as well, I think it's about 8 months or so. And you know, I did everything I possibly could. I trained, I ate right, everything I thought about was wrestling related. Just purely down to, you know, having that belt and knowing that people expected a certain thing from me. You know, if you win a title, you then represent the company. So I tried to do everything I could to be the best I could. And luckily, you know, thank you to Slam Wrestling and Luke, I had the opportunity to even sort of wear it out and defend it at the MCM Comic Con at NEC, where there was literally thousands of people. And, you know, it's moments like that are just unbelievable. And every championship I've had, I've appreciated, and I've tried to do my best for it and for, you know, the promotion and the fans and everyone that's invested in it, in that sort of belt. But yeah, that was a massive milestone and sort of a next step to say, you know what, you can go further, you can do this, you can do that. So
you seriously got to stop reading my questions, I tell you. because one of my questions was like, what was it like wrestling at the Comic Con in Birmingham? Yeah, it's terrible.
Maybe I'm psychic. Psychicness
and fury and fire and empowerment and pretty much everything you can think of. You can be the female David Starr if you know him.
I do know David Starr, yes.
Yeah.
I do. My mum's briefed me on all things exist to my birth, so.
But yeah, because I saw that and I was like, oh wow, that's amazing that you was at Comic Con in Birmingham. And you was against Dominita, who seems to be a perennial rival of yours. You know, since you started out. So how was that experience? And yeah, how was that experience basically?
Oh, absolutely great. I was a part of a few rumbles as well, tag matches, and I also defended it against Will Star, Liam Roberts, getting quite a few mentions today.
Yeah, he's getting way too much coverage,
yeah,
isn't he, really?
Oh, I'm going to have to put him out now. I'm going to have to leave him. But yeah, no, I defended it against a male opponent and a female opponent, who was Dominita. And me and Dominita, you know, we backstage, you know, we are friends when we have to be, and you know, I have a lot of love for her, honestly. She's a good friend, but also, you know, we have that professional head, and we go hard at each other at the end of the day. Sometimes, you know, she's the villainess, sometimes I'm the villainess, depending on who we are on that day, I guess, and mm-hmm. who our characters are. Defending it against her was great, and we had obviously Kenny Kilbane ringside as well. So unfortunately, he got a bit involved, and he might have got a little slap off Athena for getting involved too much.
A little slap? Yeah, I don't think so.
To be fair, he was, you know, Athena's been dragged across the floor. You can't do that to a goddess. So
no. I'll keep that in mind.
No, it was great experience. And you know, I'm really glad I had that opportunity with Dominita. He's doing very well at the moment. So, you know, I thank her, thank you Slam, and everyone who's let me be part of the event twice as well. So it's been great.
Yeah, you said about the, you know, your rivalry with Dominita and stuff, the match at Youngblood Wrestling that I alluded to earlier, that was fantastic. In all honesty, it's out there on YouTube, I still believe, and it was a great representation of you as a heroine. That's why I asked what your preference was, because I've seen you do both roles, and you know, you've done them really well, both sides of the coin, really. So, been impressed with what you've done.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to the promotions that have invested in me both ways as well. And that doesn't stop moving forward. So, you know, thank you.
I've seen, like, on show posters and stuff about wrestling a six-sided ring. Have you had the opportunity to wrestle in a six-sided ring? And if so, how is it different to a four-sided ring?
I have, and actually that was the first time I stepped in that ring was when I won the Slam Intercounty Championship, and it's very different, very, very different. You're used to, you know, you've got your four sides, and when you've got six, there's a lot less, when you're sort of looking up and looking around, for a second you get a little bit confused as to where I am, but you know what, I really enjoyed it. It's something different. It's always good to have something different as well, because it keeps, you know, your mind fresh and what new things can I do and how can I do this and that. It's a lot of space. So, you know, if I'm going from one side to the other, I'm trying to take as big steps as I can with my slightly less than average side legs. you know, it's a bit of a walk, but I really enjoyed it. I'm a fan of the side of the ring, and I'm also a fan of the four-sided as well.
Okay, fair enough. You're the Pro Wrestling Subjective Women's Champion, and you have been for the longest time. How did your debut in Pro Wrestling Subjective come about?
So I was contacted by both Steve Valentino, the People's Captain. I'll give him a hooks up. He might not hear this or see it, but there you go.
I'm sure he'll hear it if he's got a compliment in it.
Oh, definitely. And then also I was contacted by Danny Devine, who's actually left the circuit at the moment, and they said, you know, we want you to come along. And we want you to see, you know, what you can do as a villainess. And actually, that was only my second time on the debut of being a villainess. And for some reason, unbeknown to me, the crowd seemed to hate me. So it went well. You know, they loved Barbie Rogue, and you know, she was great to work with as well. It's a great debut. I think the way the company's progressed as well and their new venue, I think they're going to go far in the mindset and the people that are behind it now. That was how I was really contacted, and you know, I said yes straight away.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Based on the venue that they have now, it is a fantastic venue for wrestling.
Yeah, this is Andy Johnson
and Shed from UK Wrestling Media,
listening to Broken But Glorious.
What did you think about the, you know, your fellow ladies having two matches on a show? That's something that hasn't really happened. Not that I'm aware of in British wrestling, unless it was an all women show like Pro Wrestling Eve. So for, you know, for Valentino and for Pro Wrestling Subjective to put two women's matches on the card, what did you think about that? Was that like a real break, that, you know, a breakthrough, a breakdown of barriers to say, you know, women's wrestling can be as good as the men's if we get given the opportunity?
Yeah, no, definitely, and we're seeing that across the WWE as well. But yeah, in terms of the UK and Pro Wrestling Subjective, for them to do that was massive. And you're right, I haven't seen another sort of, or I haven't been a part of a promotion that's had two female matches on, apart from an all-female like Bellatrix, for example. But yeah, no, that is so big, and there's so many good female wrestlers out there that are not having the opportunities or being looked sort of across at times. But you know what? They're all breaking through at the moment. So the women's wrestling is on fire, and it's great, and it's going the right way. And the Pro Wrestling Subjective to do that and sort of take that chance, especially in, you know, their sort of early sort of days, if you like, the last year or so. It's a massive thing, and you know, I don't speak on behalf of all the female wrestlers, but you know, I thank you on my behalf for, you know, investing.
Absolutely. And obviously you became the Pro Wrestling Subjective Women's Champion. You know, where does that rank in your career highlights so far?
Another milestone, literally. And you know, people are going to say she's just saying it. Really, I'm not. Every single title has meant something. And it's been right at the right time, and it's meant something different. It's never been the same. Pro Wrestling Subjective to be the first women's champion is just unbelievable. I didn't believe in myself as much as what they did at the time when they said, you know what, you're going to be the first. And especially, you know, as a bad guy at Pro Wrestling Subjective, that's a big thing as well. And to hold it for that long, you know, and still sort of holding on to it, if you like, and still cheating every single time to keep a hold of it. But, you know, that's what a villainess does. But it was a great, great honour. And, you know, I've been extremely privileged. And the things that belt's done for me in terms of Facebook and, you know, putting it out there. And little girls seeing it, you know, at the last, actually, Subjective show, I was backstage and I just had the match with Zaya. Obviously, I'd come out, I'd won. And I'm walking off and this girl stops and she looks, you know, I just look at her and she says, sort of looks at me again and goes, I really like you. I was like, oh, good. And she was like, but you're bad all the time. And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I goes, I'll try and behave in my feeling voice. So it was a bit more, I'm sorry, I'll try and behave. And she just looked at me and went, can I have a hug? And she went, no. And so I put my belt on and walked off, you know, and that's what it was. But, you know, that is, you know, that belt's give a presence to that girl to say, you know what, I do actually like her. I wish she was a little bit better. And, you know, that's life lessons. So, you know, the belt is, it's a milestone and it's a recognition. invitation. I'm very honoured and humbled to have given the opportunity to be the first women's champion.
Absolutely. And it says here that you had a match against Thunder Rosa. That must have been an amazing experience, Steven. Have any thoughts or memories on this match at all?
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. I cannot, you know, give my thanks enough to Thunder Rosa. Honestly, I had literally the easiest match of my life. I was going out with the villainess again, and everyone hated me, and that's fine. And then I got into the ring, and, you know, we didn't even really talk, and we just sort of went at it, and we had a little sort of roll around, and we got back up, and we looked at each other, and then we went again. And then she kind of looked at me like, yeah, okay, you can sort of hang with me a little bit. I was like, yeah, okay, let's go again. And then we've gone again the third time, and then the match just went off. But it was an absolute pleasure, and, you know, she was great to work with, honestly. And that's one of the highlights. I did moves that I didn't even know I could do. We're just coming out and flying around everywhere. It was great. And I took moves I've never taken before. So it was a real privilege, honestly. And you know what? She's been going a very long time now, Thunder Rosa, and she's done a lot. And to be that good, you know, is hats off to her. Helmet off to her, if you like, in Athena's world, rather than hats off. So, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier about Bellatrix PW. How did that come about, and what's your experience with that promotion?
Yeah, another absolutely massive milestone. I've been a part of three with them now, and each one's been greater and greater. I had my chance just by potluck. Dominita was on one of the events, and unfortunately a few of the female wrestlers couldn't make it. And sort of Julia sort of said to, sorry, Soraya Knight actually said to Dominita, look, I need some people in. Who do you know? And just by chance, you know, thank you, Dominita. She said, you know what, give it a go, Athena. Please don't mess up. Please don't mess up. I'm like, okay, I'll try my best.
No pressure. And it's it's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it?
Well, this is it. You know, I can work as hard as I can, and if you don't know the right person, you know, sometimes you don't get the shot.
Yeah.
But no, she put me forward, and I went, right, okay, and we went out for the first match, and it was against Amara, and I knew all eyes were on me, and this was one of the biggest sort of events they've got. It was on Fight TV, and we had Eddie Guerrero's wife there.
Oh, wow.
Guerrero, there was Terry Reynolds there as well, and it was just a mind-blowing experience, and I've gone out and I've given it everything I possibly could against Amara and tried to do the best I possibly could, and I don't know how, well, I do know how, but I'm just so happy it still went the way it did. I had a great match, and I went backstage, and the commentators, when I watched it back, they were sort of like, oh, this hasn't ended. So what we had done is, the way we had ended it, they were already wanted another story from us, so I'd already planted that seed, so it was great. I go backstage, and I just look up, and there's, you've got the, you know, in Gorilla, you've got a screen there, you've got Julia, you've got Terry Reynolds, and you've got Vicky Guerrero, and I go back, and Soraya Knight pulls me in, gives me a big hug, and says, well done, girl. And then Vicky Guerrero's like, that was great, really enjoyed it, and it was genuine, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't sort of fake, and she's sort of, you know, they were very sort of like, we did really well, and I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, the night family were backstage, and they all said it was really good, and they enjoyed it. I still watch that match over now. Sometimes, you know, if I'm feeling a bit down or unsure, I watch it back. And yeah, it was great, and it's been great ever since. I've had a second match with Amara, and also just recently Lana Austin. So it's been great.
Yeah, you said about Lana Austin, and she's been, you know, recently on the Impact Manchester show, wasn't she, against Sue Young, and had a fantastic performance. So, yeah, that would definitely be a match you want to track down, I'm sure, for all the listeners out there. You said about, you know, this part of your career and kind of wanting to give back and stuff. You know, with WWE NXT UK now being shown on WWE Network, do you see that as a viable option, or are you really just, you know, behind your cause that you're working with at the moment? You know, would you like that kind of platform to be able to promote it even more? Or do you think it's going to be, local shows in and around the UK?
Yeah, I mean, sort of, I thought about that. And, you know, the chance of WWE knocking on my door probably are very low at the moment. But, you know, if the opportunity came, I would think has happened for a reason. And if they come along and they knock on my door, then that is my opportunity to then build an inferno. It goes even bigger, and it inspires more. And, you know, it
might be a volcano by that point, Athena.
Well, that's it. A whole island of volcanoes going on. I don't know. But
I don't think that'd be good for the global warming, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe not that far then. Maybe not that far. But if it goes further with me and any publicity I'm getting now as well, I'm just trying to push everyone to this inferno sort of logic.
Yeah.
It's not about Athena or anything else. It's about what it actually is, you know, what that group is and what that's going to be. So if someone knocks on my door and says, you know what, let me give you a shot, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to give my best performance and do what I need to do. Because at the end of the day, if people then start looking at Athena Fury, they look at, you know, what she's the ambassador for. So that automatically goes to build an inferno, and it looks at, you know, that page is going to be separate and it's going to be about causes and charities and good work that's going on and things that people do to help, you know, and being independent and empowered and everything else. If they knock on my door, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no, but there's a long way to go, even if, you know, that's not my focus. But if it happens, it happens. But I'm going to try and be the best, literally the best Athena I've ever been, and that's my focus now.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, you could be the person who's like the step up to WWE, because you've wrestled Millie McKenzie. She's been on NXT UK. The last match was against Sia Brookside, as you mentioned, and she'd be on the Mae Young Classic. So you just don't know, do you, really? The third person who gets the call up after having those matches with those two ladies involved. Just winding down the interview, really. If you wanted to promote any upcoming shows.
Yes, please. So for the rest of this year, I'm sort of slowing down a little bit just to start focusing on doing things with Athena and getting her out and about doing things. Next year will be full on, so I will be all over the place. So please watch out. But for this year, I have a match on the 25th of November at Pro Wrestling Subjective. And that's Rowley Regis. All details are on Facebook, and they will be on the Athena pages and also, will be shared onto the, Build an Inferno page. Apart from that, I will also be back at Coventry Pro Wrestling for their remaining dates of the year, just to follow that through. I will also be attending wrestling in Hinckley and will potentially be in their Royal Rumble. And I'll also be back at Bellatrix in December as well. So that's all I've got at the moment. If there's more bookings coming along, I'll take them. But for the sort of next sort of 2 months, my focus is just to sort of get the Build an Inferno out there and get it moving and getting sort of rocking and rolling, if you like, and just training as well. I'm literally training every day at the minute, just to come back and be the best I possibly can.
That's absolutely brilliant, and that kind of brings the interview to an end, I think, because my next question was, what's in the future for Athena Fury? But you've kind of answered that the whole way through at different points. And we've gone longer than half an hour, which I'm sure you'd be very happy with, 48 minutes. So that was good.
Great. I've got one more I've just remembered, and I'll get a slap on the wrist. A new promotion, New Star Pro Wrestling, in Swaddling Coat. I'm also a part of that in December as well. So please look on the social media and you'll see all that there as well. Thank you very much.
There we go. Better late than never.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's been myself, Oliver Newman, Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast co-host, and Free Time Pro Wrestling author, and that's been Athena Fury, and I hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you want to check us out on social media, Athena, how can they do so?
So if you type Athena Fury, A-T-H-E-N-A space F-U-R-I-E, into Google, all the pages will come up. You'll have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, but you can just go on to any of those social media sites and put Athena Fury in, and it will come up as well. And also the Build an Inferno page will be up and live as of tomorrow morning, and that will be literally everywhere. So you can find that on my personal page, on Athena's pages, and hopefully a lot of the promotions pages as well, just little shares, because even a share is helping. So you'll hopefully you'll see it everywhere, but if not, you can find Athena Fury on Google.
Okay, and that's actually the best way to do it. And then for myself, I'm just going to go with the podcast links, and that is twitter.com/bbgwpod, facebook.com/bbgwpod. We've got an Instagram, which is bbgwpod again, but we don't really use it. So, yeah, that's everything done. And, you know, we'll be back with the WWE Evolution review on Tuesday / Wednesday morning. And, yeah, thanks very much for joining us tonight, Athena.
Thank you very much. And thank you to anyone who's listened. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.